Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on June 27th, 2014. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help their businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses to get and the city of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at www.manhattanbeachchamber.com. That's Manhattan Beach Chamber. .com or call 310-545-5313. That's 310-545-5313. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show or visit us on our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show, and of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm great. This is my favorite show of the week these days.
Yes.
And it's exciting, too.
It's Friday.
Yes, it's Friday, of course.
It's Friday. It's That's the best day of the week.
And we talked a lot about that wonderful event that went off at the Metlox Plaza last night. And it's just so many great things happening in the city of Manhattan Beach. Who are our guests today, Jackie?
Our guests this morning are Kelly Stroman, Julie Hantzarides, and Richard Thompson. And they're going to give us some insight today with regard to the Manhattan Beach Downtown Improvement Plan. This is something I don't think we've talked about yet, have we, Joe?
No.
Okay, well, Kelly Stroman is the Executive Director of the Downtown Manhattan Business Beach Business Association and is a regular contributor to this program. If you were listening yesterday, she was on yesterday, too. Every business in Downtown Manhattan Beach belongs to the association, including the farmers market, and it's Kelly's responsibility to make the area an attractive place to shop, dine, play, and stay. She has lived in Manhattan Beach for 15 years, has two teenage boys attending MiraCosta High School. Kelly spent years volunteering within the public school system and raising money for the Manhattan Beach Education Foundation, and she describes her current position as a fruitful combination of everything she has ever worked in or volunteered for. She is passionate about keeping downtown Manhattan Beach inviting to locals, Southern Californians, and travelers from afar. Richard Thompson is the Director of Communications for the City of Manhattan Beach and is responsible for the planning, building and safety, traffic engineering, and code enforcement operations for the city. He was instrumental in the development of Metlox Plaza and laid the groundwork for a new permitting and inspection system to enhance customer service. Julie Hantzarides opened Old Venice in 1984 with her husband and then six-month-old son. They decided to combine Italian and Greek cuisine because her husband did his apprenticeship in an Italian restaurant, but also wanted to incorporate his Greek culture into the restaurant. Fast forward 30 years, the evolution of Greek cuisine and culture has become more mainstream, and the restaurant has become more Greek-influenced. Now that 1 six-month-old baby is the executive chef. Their business motto is simple: good food, good value, good people, good times. They are a family business in a community that has supported them through two major tragedies. First, a fire in 2006 that destroyed the restaurant, and then the loss of Julie's husband. They are one of the few surviving hometown local beach-style establishments in downtown Manhattan Beach. Julie has served as the association president, is currently and has served for years on the Downtown Business Improvement District Board, and has been a major part of the evolution of downtown Manhattan Beach. Kelly, Julie, Richard, Welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning, Jackie. Thank you so much for having us once again. We love being on your show.
Yes.
And we love having you.
Yes, we do. And, of course, Richard, we're very glad to have you with us today because there are so many things that are going great with Manhattan Beach right now. The city's firing on all cylinders, and July 4th is coming up, and typically a very busy day. I want to start with you, Richard. What would you say about how the downtown is developing now and how you want to see it develop in the future?
Well, I think that's what the downtown plan is all about, and that's what this effort is all about. I think we have an interesting opportunity at this time. Manhattan Beach has always taken a lead role in the South Bay cities on what to do next. And in our town, what we're looking at is what is the new vision for our downtown. And so that's the effort that we're embarking on at this time. We're trying to bring all the interested parties, particularly the community together and the downtown merchants, property owners, all together to establish and to refresh that vision for our downtown.
I see. Is there a particular, as the director of communications for the city, is there a particular message or a particular sort of endpoint that the city is aiming for? Give us some of the insights on what the city is looking to do in this planning process.
Sure. And the title is the Director of Community Development.
Community Development.
And, yes, it has a lot to do with communication, so I guess you can use that word interchangeably. And that's what this is all about, to establish the new vision for our downtown. The last time we did this was in 1996. We want to refresh that plan. We want to know what our residents want in our downtown area. It's extremely a popular place. There's a high demand for parking in the area. People want to come to Manhattan Beach, and I think what we're trying to embark on at this point is to determine what that vision is and how to implement those different factors.
Are you
just starting this process?
Yes. We are just starting this process.
And so do you start with dialogue where you have like town halls where you invite the community and businesses in, or is there another starting point?
So the starting point is with the city council, and our city council established it as priority, the allocated funds to hire a consultant. We're in the process now of interviewing different consultants that will come on board to help us with this effort. And so that's the starting point. That's where we're at now. We had a downtown visioning session just a few weeks ago where a lot of the merchants and public attended this meeting, and they talked about things that seemed to be working downtown and the things that they're concerned about. So that was the starting point. We're in the process of interviewing consultants that will help us refresh that plan that we did in 1996 and to establish a vision for our downtown for moving forward.
This is very exciting. It's a great time to be involved in the sort of the discussion, because it's obviously going to affect Manhattan Beach and the planning towards a more vibrant and livable, walkable, whatever the goals will be downtown for many years to come. Kelly, can you give us the perspective from the Downtown Manhattan Beach Business Association? How are the member businesses looking at this planning, and what are some of the main things that sort of the business owners want to accomplish?
Sure. You know, we're all very excited about this. And, you know, I kind of regard myself as a portal of information. I listen to the downtown business owners. You know, I listen to the consumer. I work with Richard and the city to kind of bring all that together and to relay feedback and for us to kind of collaborate on this. The most important thing, I think, for – well, there's several things, but the downtown businesses, they really – you know, want to maintain that kind of small town village feel that we have, but knowing that we're also moving in a little more of an upscale direction. The neighborhood and the demographics of people have changed, you know, over the years in Manhattan Beach. It's important that we do listen to our residents, our consumers, and find out what they want and try to meet those needs. So the Business Association is very, hands-on, ear to the ground with their own customers in their own stores and restaurants and, you know, trying to relay that information to me and to the city so we can make sure that this is copacetic for everybody.
And the changing demographic would be more from a town of people that lived here since the beginning to what? What would the changing demographic be?
Since the beginning of time.
Yes.
You know, the amount of young families continues to grow significantly. The schools are still, you know, overflowing here. There are a lot of people who we see kind of migrating from the west side with families to come down here and live down here instead of living on the west side because of the school systems, because of the friendly kind of safe nature of the town. So, you know, we're seeing a more of an influx of people working in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
Moving into this area with their families. And I think also, you know, if you look at the caliber of restaurants that have popped up over the years, too, we've become quite a dining mecca and destination. And you're going to see more and more people, not just the locals, you know, eating here, which is important. We get a lot of tourists also. But we also get kind of that second layer of local, and that's, you know, people from Los Angeles and the West Side. So we're here to serve, you know, our immediate locals, but we also have to look beyond that to the other layers, that being Southern California and then beyond.
Right, right. I know because I was involved with the volunteer effort for the first Hermosa Beach Film Festival in 1997 that Hollywood lives here in the South Bay and has always really lived here in the South Bay. I mean the artists and the set designers and the costumers and all of the thousands of different crafts that go into making a film. Many of them live here in the South Bay and have long done so, and it's exciting with the Manhattan Beach Studios and all of that you know, sort of the Hollywood is moving down south and very.
The secret is out.
The secret is out.
Secret's out. Well, Julie can speak to that, Joe.
Yes,
she's a local business owner. Let's hear her take on it.
Julie, let's talk about what as Old Venice. Looks towards the future, what do you want to see in this downtown plan?
You know, I think change is always good. I was a part of the original plan that Richard spoke of in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
I remember specifically the number one thing coming out of that vision at that time was the residents really saying that they really wanted to keep the downtown into having a small town, you know, village feeling. I remember that specifically being something that was prevalent throughout that planning process. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see now with, you know, new influx of residents and business owners and landowners to see what, you know, what the new vision will be. Like, it's just open. You know, the sky's the limit. Let's see what the creative, artistic culture in our community thinks up.
Okay.
I'm open to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to ask something, Joe. I guess I'll direct this to Richard. It's a chicken egg kind of question. We've all noticed because we've been talking about it, you know, for several months about, for example, the Del Amo Fashion Center is undergoing a huge renovation. Manhattan Mall, a village, is undergoing a huge renovation, or they're just starting the process of a huge renovation. South Bay Galleria is talking, and then, of course, whatever's going to happen at the marina.
Oh, wait, and don't forget the SB Point is coming up.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
right. Yeah.
Right, so all this – now, Richard, is this because one person said, okay, we need to do a refreshment thing here, and everybody else said, uh-oh, they're doing something. We got to do something, or how does that work? Is it because are people reacting to something, like, because of – the El Segundo Plaza, is it called El Segundo Plaza? Because that went in, it's such a success. Now all the other local developments are doing that. Because it seems to me the same thing with the cities. You know, it's all happening at the same time. You know, the different cities want to rejuvenate and stuff. How does that work?
I think the good way of looking at the situation that we're in now is, number one, downtown is not broken. And oftentimes you find government agencies responding to something to fix. And in this particular situation, it really is an opportunity to bring people together to talk about, again, what the vision should be for its downtown. I think Julie brought up an excellent point about the small town village atmosphere, which was it was very prevalent in the 1996 plan, and it was something very important to the residents at that time and defined in that plan that we prepared. Mm-hmm. And because of that plan, what resulted from that was Metlox.
Mm-hmm.
We did the plan first. The residents spoke on what it was they liked and they didn't like. And for an example, they didn't want movie theaters downtown and some of the other things like that, but they did want some type of hotel-type bed and breakfast situation. So as a result, you have the Metlox project with two levels of parking, 460 public parking spaces. That was driven by a community vision process. Now that we've completed that, we completed the other aspects of that plan, it's time to take another look at the downtown. Again, not broken, very popular. What do you do with that popularity? Where is that going? There's concern about the number of real estate offices that are moving into our downtown and how they're locating. And what impact that has on our downtown. Again, the small downtown feel, are we losing that? Or are we going in the right direction?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned some of the other projects that are going on in the area, such as the mall in Del Amo and El Segundo, all very important to all the cities in the South Bay, but they all have a place. Our downtown is unique in the sense it's the heart of the city. Mm-hmm. What the mall is, to us, it's our wallet. It is our revenue source. Yes, the downtown is our revenue source, but more importantly, it's the heart. It's what we need to protect in order to maintain that village that we have in our downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you asked the question, what initiated this? Why are we doing this now? I think it's just, again, to refresh the vision, making sure we're going in the right direction and to identify if there's anything else we need to do to keep it going in that right direction.
There is a tension between you know, sort of these competing goals, maybe of continuing to grow in the direction of a destination downtown, a destination eating, dining, entertainment. I'm so glad the decision was made to keep theaters out, because of course theaters don't provide anything of a community nature. They're literally boxes where people go and sit for 2 hours and then they leave and
take up a lot of parking
and take up an amazing amount of parking. Yeah, so theaters, X that out. That was a great idea. What are some of the other things that we want to avoid, Richard?
Well, I think it's all about balance. And if you look at our great downtowns throughout the nation and the different downtowns that we have, and particularly in the South Bay, we're really blessed to have the type of downtowns that we do have. The ingredients of a good, successful downtown is a balance of different types of uses. And when you change that balance over, or if there's change within the community or the downtown, that's where the tension comes in that you speak of, and that's right. where the concern, and that's what we're trying to address at this time.
Right.
We're seeing a lot of changes. We're right. seeing a lot of private investments in our downtown.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of renovation going on, new buildings being built, and I think we want to make sure physically they are compatible with the other buildings and what the community wants, and also the uses that are established in our downtown. It's the proper balance for our downtown, and it's not one type of use that's dominating over another one. That is the challenge. That's the main challenge we're trying to achieve, and we're looking for the answer to that. How do we achieve that balance?
Right. Now, Julie, you represent the kind of stability, the kind of, you know, that you walk into a place and you know the owners, you know the staff, and you feel comfortable. And that's what I think of when I think of that hometown feel. How do you encourage that, do you think, Julie?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Richard hit it on the head when he said that the downtown is the heart of the city.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the businesses are owner-operated.
Mm-hmm.
And that just in itself provides a unique personal, you know, shopping and dining experience for the consumer, because you do walk in and know who's serving you. You know, when people come in our front door, it's like they're coming into my living room. You know, they're a guest in my home.
Mm-hmm.
I spend more time there than I do in my home. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just creates that kind of a culture, absolutely.
It does. And I'm thrilled that we have such a vibrant bookstore, Pages, in the downtown area. But of course, it's Pages is alone among other downtowns in the South Bay. There are very few bookstores, or none, perhaps, that I can think of right off the top of my head that have survived the economic...
There are none. There are none. It's the only one.
Pages is the only small bookstore.
There's nothing on Pier Avenue. There's
no.
nothing in Riviera Village.
No.
There's nothing over on Artesia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and bookstores are a special kind of business that has that niche of community and learning and discussion and so forth, but it's they have not been able to survive no matter what cities have wanted to do. What do you think, Julie? Is that just the business that bookstores are in, and we can't worry about that, or are there other businesses that we want?
Yeah, I think it's both, but I think that those businesses can survive. I think that people just need to realize and embrace the uniqueness of what it is that those small businesses in a downtown like ours has to offer. You know, it goes back to the campaign of shopping locally, dining locally, staying locally, playing locally. People need to just rediscover what their own community has to offer and really embrace those businesses. If that's something that they want to see, they need to support that. You know, historically, we have always allowed the market to dictate. And, you know, like Richard said, there does need to be a balance. And if we are missing a certain niche of business that this community wants to see, we need to hear about that. This plan is a perfect vehicle for that, so that we can embrace those things that they want and bring more of those types of things so that they will stay, shop, dine, play, eat in their own community.
Right, right. I think that's powerful to talk about categories of businesses and types of businesses that you do want and that you don't want. I think that is a powerful guide for city planners and you know other and business owners about
Absolutely.
What the community will embrace. I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly, we are blessed beyond measure here in the South Bay. I want to turn just to a little bit about the successes that we've had in the downtown, because we have so many.
I want to hear about Metlocks. I want to hear about how Metlocks happened, because it's just such a great addition to downtown. Can we hear about that? Sorry for interrupting.
Kelly?
Well, we talked.
Kelly.
Yes, exactly. First of all, before we go to Matlock's, I just want to say thank you for recognizing Pages of the Bookstore, because they are a wonderful success story, and I think really what sets them apart, like Julie's business and other locally owned businesses, is that they listen to the community. They have a lot of community events. You know, they have author events almost every other day in their store.
Right.
So, you know, of all ilk, you know, different ages, different topics, and they invite people in to gather, but also to discuss. And then they work really closely with all the schools in making sure that, you know, they order in the books that are on the reading list for the kids. So they are very unique. They are, I think you're right, one of the few, if at all, you know, the one independently owned bookstore. And those ladies, the three partners, work tirelessly to, you know, be involved and really make it a very comfortable place for the community.
Thank God, thank God it's not owned by a man. Sorry, Richard, I know, but you know, those ladies, I mean, they really put so much love and time into this business. I'm not sure that a single owner would do that, man or woman. It really takes a group of owners to do what they are doing.
It does take a village, and that's why we want to keep that village feel. I know, you know, we talked a little bit about Matlock's yesterday, but today is a different day, and I just want to add, you know, you touched on it, I think, at the very beginning, Jackie, the movie night last night with at Matlock's, the first ever summer movie series at Matlock's with that Jason created for Nico Kai in the city, was a huge event. I posted a few pictures on Facebook. I don't know if you saw them, but
I did.
It was so neat to go over there when I walked out of my office last night and to see families. It was like ants going towards the pot of candy, like downtown. I saw all these families with strollers and young kids, you know, moving towards Matlock's, and it was just really cool. And we had, you know, a great turnout. There was, you know, we had our local surf team there to help out. We had the local pizzeria, the gelato place, and everybody had a fantastic time. So Matlock's is kind of the gateway into, you know, our heart of the city, and it's a welcoming place. And I think Richard can and Julie can speak to the history of how it developed and where it's come, because I was not, I don't think I was even living in the town years ago when that started, you know, long, long time ago when it started. So
I remember it. I want to hear that.
Well, Richard, I'm gonna preface the, you know, I moved into the South Bay in the early 90s, 91. Mm-hmm. And when I moved in to the South Bay, Matlock's was boarded up, sort of fenced around it. It was a lot when I moved in, and then it became a hole.
Right.
The hole. Tell us about that transition from what it was before to what it is now, and I just want to give you a couple words. What we talked about yesterday was it's a plaza, a piazza. In the truest sense of the Italian piazza, the center of the city.
Right, and you know that's a great term that you use. I use town square.
Okay.
And from the very beginning, we've always identified it as the town square of the city, and all the great cities again have that kind of gathering area where people can identify. You don't have to give an address; you just say a word, and they know where to go to. Matlock's.
Right.
And that was the other reason why Matlock's actually stuck was, you know, it was a pottery place with a great history of making pottery and its industry and everything.
Right.
So I came on board in 1995, and like you, at that time, there was a big hole out there, and there was a lot of competition for the property. The problem was that it wasn't a very clean piece of property, and it needed to be cleaned up. So the property owner at the time had the responsibility of cleaning that property. And at the same time, there was a number of people that wanted to develop that property. So it was under ownership of a private property owner, and they were in the process of cleaning it, putting the property up for sale. So the start of this story begins when the city purchased the property.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal. You know, cities don't typically do that. They'll try to do what it can to regulate property, but to actually purchase the property to establish exactly what that property needs to look like and to control the property. The best way of doing that is purchasing the property, so the property owner has much more control over it than just the city and regulating what's going to happen. So that happened. The city purchased the property, ran a competition for an architect, had a number of architects propose different types of development on the site, and we picked the right developer at the time, went through that process that I mentioned in 1996 of a community visioning process of what does the city want at that location, what does it like and what doesn't it like. And through that process, identified a variety of different uses, including the town square, the plaza areas, the public gathering areas, the fountain, public parking, no theater, the yes and the no's list.
Right.
And from that, several of the architects and developers proposed on that. We ended up with the Tolkien Group. So we entered into a development agreement with the Tolkien Group. And we went through that design process with the Planning Commission and the City Council and the community, and which resulted in what we have today. The other part of that success story is not only does it provide the required parking for the development itself, I don't know if you recall this, but it added 200 additional parking spaces.
Okay.
And that was a decision, a standalone decision, aside from the project. The project was already approved, and they decided, you know, we need more parking. We should consider adding a whole new level, another 200 additional parking spaces.
Right.
And which they did. They approved and funded that, and that essentially how we came up with that development.
I remember, Richard, at the time, there was quite a controversy about the expense of adding that new level of parking.
Yes.
But you could have added two more levels. It's so critical.
It's like the Santa Monica problem. You can never provide enough parking.
Right.
And that's always going to be our challenge here when we have such a jewel in the downtown. You know, how do you manage the parking? How do you manage the traffic?
Right.
How do you keep that downtown feel?
No, it's beautiful. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, Richard, I'd like to continue to talk about Metlocks and what it has become in detail as we expand towards talking about the rest of the plan for the downtown. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360. We're talking about the Manhattan Beach Downtown Improvement Plan. There is a plan. There is a great deal of participation that's available for all residents, and we're excited about that. And at this time, though, we'd like to take a break and actually thank a sponsor. Jackie, who do we want to thank today?
Well, Joe, you know it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, Certified Public Accountants and Consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011.
Okay. And at this time, of course, I'd like to add Jim O'Callaghan, president of the Manhattan Beach Chamber. Jim, is that you?
I am here. Good morning.
Okay, great. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about everybody else?
Great. Good. We're doing great, and we were just talking with Richard, and we're on the subject of the history of Metlocks, and we were talking about, Richard, how it became a property of the city. Very unique decision of the city council at that time to decide to purchase the property. Then it became developed, and can you tell us a little bit about the mix of businesses and of course the hotel, the Shade Hotel, the Zislis Group, an amazing business development group. Tell us how that all came about.
Okay. You know, one of the biggest issues we were facing during that time was the size of the development. How much density could be accommodated on that property, and that created a lot of controversy in the city. That property was first considered at about 200,000 square feet in that range, and then it reduced to 121,000 mm-hmm. square feet as it went through the planning process. Well, today it's at 65,000 square feet.
Mm.
So you could see how, you know, the size, the traffic generation, all those types of issues were really big issues during that period of time, and in the mix of uses. How many restaurants should be located there? What types of other uses, where should they be located? We have office uses generally on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
We have retail users and great restaurants on the first level, and then, of course, the town plaza in the middle, and that public gathering area.
Mm-hmm.
All those types of uses or category uses were negotiated with the developer as we were going through the planning process. And, of course, what anchored that project is the hotel, the Shade Hotel.
Right.
The Shade Hotel first was being considered as a bed and breakfast, and there was another group that came in and proposed a bed and breakfast at that location. Ultimately, they weren't able to accomplish it. Mike Zislis didn't have a lot of experience with running hotels. In fact, his interests and his focus were running great restaurants
mm-hmm.
at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, you know, this is something I can do, and I know this town, I live in this town, and, you know, working with the city, came up with a plan to develop the Shade Hotel, which has just been really successful,
right.
and I think been embraced by the community. So it's anchored by that Shade Hotel. We've got the town square. We've got all the different types of uses, the balance of uses that we're talking about, very convenient parking downstairs,
right.
and the artwork that's been integrated throughout the development. At each level of the parking structure, I don't know if you've been into the parking structure, but there's quite a bit of artwork and pottery from the Metlocks industrial site that was there before that's
right.
been integrated into that.
I actually have been in the parking structure, and I'll tell you, one of the things that the comments that I hear and that I've experienced myself is it's very lit. I mean, it is very in the daytime, the sunlight kind of goes down the stairwell and lights each of the different levels. It's one of the most open, safe-feeling parking structures I know of.
I appreciate you saying that, because that was a big deal at the time. As you can imagine, this was the first for Manhattan Beach having underground parking like this.
Right.
A lot of concern about security. So lighting was important. Visibility was important. If you go, you could kind of see almost the whole structure from one corner to another. And I think most people feel very comfortable in that parking structure, underground parking structure. And then you have the core area where you have escalators giving you access to the parking spaces. That was another big deal.
Right.
A lot of people spoke of, well, let's just have a stairway going down there. Well, the escalator and the elevator really also provide that sense of security down there. And as you mentioned, a lot of light is filtered down to the first and second levels.
It is unique in that way. And I think I just hope that there are more city fathers around the South Bay that will look at underground parking. I contrast this with the parking structure next to the Bijou, the old Bijou Theater in Hermosa, and it's open, it's nice, but it's limited and it's above ground, so we have to look at a parking structure.
Well, that was a challenge. You know, we looked at this development. We need parking. We do not want to do another parking structure downtown.
Right.
We want the parking to be invisible. How do you make it invisible? You put it underground.
Yeah.
Well, that's a challenge when you have a site that has some contaminated soil and things like that. So that had to be addressed.
Right.
And then we pushed it down. We were, of course, concerned about the water table and things like that.
Right.
But when you come upon the site and you look at it from the street, you don't know that there's parking underneath.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the challenges to find the parking, but people know where that parking is by now. But, it's invisible, but yet very secured, and people feel very comfortable inside.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Jim O'Callaghan, president of the the Manhattan Beach Chamber, I wanna talk to you a little bit about the impact that has had and that you think will have on the plan. We've talked a little bit about the plan. It's not set in stone yet. We're just beginning the process. What's your take on planning for the downtown area, Jim O'Callaghan?
Well, I mean, speaking with, you know, all of the business owners downtown, Kelly and Richard, you know, the major concerns is, how do you continue to maintain the small town feel while at the same time preparing for a future that, you know, may or may not include certain types of business models and assessing parking needs and stuff like that? And for our downtown, I mean, we are definitely strapped from a parking standpoint, but there are creative things that the city has looked at in the past, and some of these public-private partnerships, if going forward, could also continue to develop parking such as that. From the business mix standpoint, I think, you know, there's a lot of good models out there that we've looked at and a lot of good models that I know Richard has looked at. And I think that a good, healthy compromise on how to prepare will eliminate some of the talk that had gone on in the past about just blatantly outlawing certain types of businesses. So I think there's a healthy mix that can be achieved, and I think the group, I know I was looking at some of the proposals last night, the groups that are involved in this look pretty strong. So.
Are we, and Kelly, I want to bring you back in, are we doing everything that we can to make sure all the different sides are being heard? I know Richard is doing his best, but The businesses do they feel heard?
I think they do. I think, you know, Julie could chime in on that as a business owner, but we work, the, you know, the visioning forum that we had a few weeks ago that Richard mentioned was open to business owners, to anybody, to landowners, to the community, and, you know, a teacher teaching at the school who comes downtown for lunch. Anybody could attend that meeting. And it's the first of probably many meetings that we'll have as we, you know, get a little more specific and narrow things down. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, we're always open arms and listening to the business owners. We, you know, we at our board meeting every single month, this is discussed in some way, shape, or form. We are going to have more feedback coming from the business owners as it evolves, but I do think so, that they feel listened to. You know, it's tough. We have a bunch of very different personalities and perspectives downtown. That's what makes it so unique, is we have all these very interesting business owners. We do have the corporate stores. We have, you know, like Julie said, the majority are locally owned businesses. And their perspective and their background and where they come from is all important, and it's unique, and we have to listen to all of that and somehow bring it together. When I listened to Richard talk about Metlocks, and, you know, obviously his depth of knowledge is fantastic there. Everything that was, that Metlocks was created for with that original plan years ago, is almost exactly what was discussed in our visioning plan 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You know, people want a gathering place. They want it to be safe. They want it to be walkable. They want a nice selection of dining and shops that are accessible on that street level or that plaza level. They want parking. You know, they want outdoor dining. All of that is available in Metlocks, and that's what they want throughout the rest of downtown, too. So it's amazing how you fast forward, you know, 15 to 20 years, and the basic core values and wants are the same. It's just perhaps we're attracting different businesses that different designers, different ideas that feed the local economy now.
Right.
And the big difference is this time around, you don't have a big empty lot that you have to figure out what to do with. That's done, right? James,
right.
There's not another Metlocks on the horizon, right? You've got what you have to work with, correct?
Well,
I
don't know who you're
Rich,
asking.
Rich,
I wasn't sure who you were asking either, but Jim could probably answer that as well. I think that is the challenge. You know, when you have just an open 5-acre piece of property, you have just an amazing opportunities to do something with it. Here we have a built-out downtown that, again, is not broken. It's really in good shape.
Right.
And the question is, how do we continue with that and keeping it with the small downtown feel?
Well,
yeah.
Richard, we are in the media, so I consider that Jackie and I are in the media. And I have to ask you the question, what you say – downtown's not broken, and that's certainly true. Anyone who's visited the downtown area and had fun and had a great meal
Bought a new dress.
I haven't bought a new dress recently, but I understand that people enjoy that. What would you say the issues going forward that you can work on are going to be? Because it can't be purchasing another 5-acre property. There are no such properties.
Right, and I think the result of this effort that we're going through with the new downtown plan will answer that question.
Yeah.
And right now we have, and no one mentioned this yet, is the library project that's going up right next door. I'm looking at it right now. It's right outside my window, and you might be able to hear in the background some of the beep, beep, beep and the construction going on next door.
Hmm.
I hear it all the time, but that's an amazing project. And one of the concerns is how we're going to manage our parking. Again, we did this in 1985. We went through a parking management plan for our downtown. So how do we manage our parking? That's going to be a really important issue to address, and that will be addressed in the new plan. And how does the new library fit into that mix and into our civic center area? The other issue, of course, is going to be the design of the buildings and how it looks. We have design guidelines for our downtown,
mm-hmm.
And do they need to be updated? Are they responding to the current demands of our property owners and our merchants,
mm-hmm.
The restaurants and things like that? Do we need more outdoor spaces and that sort of thing? And again, you know, it's been mentioned before, but there's been a concern about street-level office uses and real estate offices and banks.
Mm-hmm.
There's a concern about that. So what do we do with that? They fit somewhere in downtown, but how do they fit and where do they need to be located? Those are the things I think that we can address and provide, you know, direction for the city council.
Right. I just have to ask you, Richard, give us a few numbers to help us understand the scale of the library. How many floors? What the scale is?
It's double the size of what it was before. As you know, our little small library before just could not handle the demand
mm-hmm.
that it was experiencing. And it's just going to be an amazing building. It's going to have an amazing views from the second floor all across the South Bay. They're creating, because it's two floors, they're creating a lot of outdoor plaza space, again, that connects with our civic center area. There, it's going to be state-of-the-art technology. This is a county library, by the way. It's not a city library, but it services the Manhattan Beach area. It doesn't cost us any of the residents any money to build this project. It was money that was set aside for this purpose.
Okay.
And it's going to just be an amazing structure providing amazing services with meeting rooms, much-needed meeting rooms that we need, and also the technology. Libraries are much different today, the services they provide, than they were, you know, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they are still very popular if done properly. So we're excited about it.
Okay, great, 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 great. Jim, at this time we normally ask you about upcoming events in the chamber. What's going on with the chamber?
Well, July 11th we have our economic forum, which will discuss a number of these issues as well. We have two panels. One panel will focus on downtowns throughout similar-sized beach communities. So that'll be exciting to hear some of the work that they've done and some of the planning that they've gone through and, you know, learn from some of the issues that came up during that planning.
Right.
Then the second panel will focus on kind of the major developments that are happening right now in the South Bay, you know, from Del Amo to the Point and things of that nature, so how the changing landscape of some of the bigger developments are occurring. We'll also have Bruce Moe on, who will kind of give us an update on where the city is, kind of how the business community fits in financially with the overall budget and community of the city. And then we, as I mentioned last week, we are very happy to announce that we are partnering with an organization called YEA to launch a youth entrepreneurial program here in town and give students a year-long learning on how to run, operate, and own their own business, and then help a few of them start a business as well.
Right.
So those are kind of the upcoming things. The summer is a little bit slower for us. We kind of focus on getting, you know, everything set for the rest of the year. So.
Right. It's very exciting. I mean, coincident with the school year, we're going to have, is it 24 students?
We already have 30-something applicants, so we're looking for a few more so we can.
Okay, and we're gonna, and these students are going to, in the first half of the year, they're going to learn about permitting and working with the city and getting Richard's home phone number and stuff like that, and then they're going to learn about, in the second half, about finance and accounting and about actually choosing a business according to their profile. I want to make a lot of money. I want to serve, you know, this demographic, that demographic. And then they're going to get a Shark Tank-like opportunity to actually go for funding. How many of the businesses potentially will get funding, do you believe, Jim?
Well, historically, the program has had about 10% of the students, so 2 to 3, every graduating class actually start a business.
Yes.
Now, if there's a number of good business plans out there, we will have other investors able to help them.
Yes.
It probably wouldn't be full financing for those types of companies, but, you know, it could be anywhere up to 5 or 6 probably.
Wow, that is so tremendous. I mean, that's real education in practice, and that's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. I have to bring Julie back. Julie, when we talk about the different constituents being heard, I want to ask you that question. We're in the media, so we love controversy. Are there any constituencies that are not being heard, or do you think the process is appropriately open?
You know, you want controversy, I can't give it to you. I have to say that I am so fortunate to be part of this community. I mean, since 1984, I have been through the whole entire Metlox process that we all have been talking about.
You remember
lived through it. I remember every little detail of it. And that's something that is so great about this city, is that they work proactively. Like we've said before, this downtown is not broken. This plan and the vision and the foresight that they're bringing together is an example of that. I mean, everyone has an opportunity to be heard in this plan. So if anybody feels that maybe they haven't been heard, they have an opportunity now if they were not here for the 1996 plan.
Right.
And so going forward, I mean, we have all those opportunities, you know, to explore what these options are.
Right.
Very, very proactive approach. I'm thrilled.
Kelly, we want to make sure that people know how to get involved. And if they haven't been already involved, and I know the Downtown Business Association is going to be a big part of that. How do people get involved, Kelly?
People can get involved. Well, you're talking about the consumer, not just the business owners, or
well,
both?
Sure, both.
Okay. Both. Well, both the business association, we are constantly in communication with them via mostly email, our internal email, that with any type of meetings or programs or a chance to voice their opinion. The consumer finds out about it, I think, really two ways, via social media through our downtown website and our Facebook page. And then also the city has a Speak Up Manhattan part of their website that you can go on to and leave comments regarding, you know, the question of the week or any other issue. I mean, the city council is also very interested in all of this, and, you know, they can be emailed at any given moment, and they do take comments, they do listen to people, and all of it is taken very seriously. I mean, I think what we're trying to avoid is blinking our eyes, you know, waking up 2, 3, 5 years from now and saying, wait a minute, what happened? You know, we want to make sure we keep that right balance and mix. And it's, you know, I think just this conversation this morning is a testament to how much every element of this city cares, from the chamber to the city to the Downtown Business Association to a business owner like Julie. I mean, we all are very passionate about keeping that heartbeat beating strong.
One of the things, Richard, that I think about when we have this discussion is the Metlocks Plaza is a home run of enormous proportions, whether you consider the parking, whether you consider the uniqueness of the parking structure underground and how open and safe and appealing it is. Everything about it, I mean, the Zislis group, Mike Zislis, and the work that they do, amazing, at the Shade Hotel. It was a home run. And so that was the 1996 plan. What can this plan do to top that that success?
Yeah, that's a good question. And here's my, I got a good answer for that, is that what makes plans successful is the public-private partnership. And that's what we had back in 1996, and when Metlocks was built, is a real strong public-private partnership. And we still have those strong relationships. We have a strong relationship with Kelly and the downtown group, with Julie and the merchants. We have it with Jim and the chamber. And I think that's what makes plans successful, because we're able to address the issues that everybody wants to have addressed. And we have a very public process, community-oriented process. You know, Kelly mentioned how people can access information from the city. The city has a very powerful website. We have a portal for receiving comments on mm-hmm. the downtown plan, community process, visioning process, and all that. That's going to be critical in this moving forward, and I think we're capturing all those types of things, and we have a strong relationship with our residents and our merchants, and we all agree that there are issues that need to be addressed. I don't think there's any disagreement on what the issues are, mm-hmm. which are important. It's now we're going to be going through the process and figuring out how to address those issues. So I think it's going to be another home run. It's just going to be maybe a little different, the result, but mm-hmm. it's going to preserve what we have for years to come.
Right, right. Well, are there any resources that come to mind in terms of websites or URLs, or should they just go to, is it MBCityInfo?
Yes, .info. And you just go to our city website, you know, just Google the City of Manhattan Beach. That's usually the easiest way people find us. And it's right there, and it's on the front page, and you'll see the downtown plan. It's we're still working on it with photographs and everything, but a good place to start for information.
Great. Wonderful. Jim O'Callaghan, any last words?
No, it's just great to see an entire community working together. Having gone through this in other cities, you know, you had warring factions, but I think here you genuinely have a number of groups that are completely dedicated to seeing this done right. And while
right.
they may not agree with every aspect of it, they all have the best interest at heart, which is a nice change when working in a small city.
Right, right. I just want to make sure I get that URL right. It's citymb.info. Citymb.info. Thank
That's
you,
it.
Everyone. Yes, Richard, did you have something left?
No,
left?
Thank you. I
thank
just appreciate
you.
This conversation.
Thank you very much. We had a wonderful panel, Kelly Stroman, Julie Hantzarez, and Richard Thompson, and Jim O'Callaghan, of course, and thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having
Bye.
Us.